Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today we have a debate with Reginald Finley. It's an informal debate. There's no moderator. You might know him as the infidel guy. He is known around the country and even around the world as an atheist, and he's appeared on ABC's Wife Swap program, and they have repeatedly re-aired that. In fact, it's been very popular. Where his family, he's the atheist, and they, I guess, switched wives with a Christian family. Welcome, Reggie, to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
The laws of logic, are the laws of logic physical? Are they made of atoms and molecules? Are the laws of logic physical?
It's an abstraction.
Do you mean if we write them down on paper?
I mean, well, we look at the real world, and we... you know, extract from that the regularities and the patterns, and we give it a name.
Yeah,
but they still exist.
Yeah, but
so I'm kind of confused why it's necessary to argue something, because even if it's not in that type of physical sense, that doesn't mean that it's supernatural or anything like that either, though.
Okay, but you're agreeing. I think you're agreeing, and I've heard leading atheists in debates when they're asked. In fact, we sell one of these, the Great Debate. Are the laws of logic physical? They'll say no. It's pretty hard to assert because they're not made up of matter. You know, are they solid, liquid, gas, or plasma? At what temperature do the laws of logic boil?
Right, but they're not supernatural either, though. But exactly.
Well, they're not physical. They're not material.
But they're not supernatural, so there's no need to.
Well, they're not.
Same thing with the human mind. Some people try to say it's a spirit and a soul. I don't think we need to go that far. I think we can stick with.
If you could agree that the laws of logic are not physical, and I think you need to, because otherwise...
I think I already did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, otherwise you get into an incredible absurdity.
Right.
You know, how does inertia affect them and so on.
Right.
Well, Albert Einstein, in 1944, in his published remarks on Bertrand Russell, had a theory of knowledge. Einstein wrote of the gulf logically unbridgeable between ideas and... matter, ideas like the laws of logic and reason, the gulf between those things and matter. And some linguists today and scientists refer to this as Einstein's gulf. And Einstein said there's no reason that atoms and molecules would give rise to things that are non-physical. And logic is non-physical. So
at least he didn't understand at the time, but yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he didn't believe in God. He's an atheist. He believed in Spinoza's God,
right,
which is not a personal
theism.
God. Yeah, so he was an atheist. But atheists try to explain, and they argue that we live in a purely physical universe, and there's nothing but the material. And it, as they make their arguments, they are using logic, knowledge, ideas, and reason, none of which is material. So the tools they use to try to prove that only the physical material reality exists, none of those tools are physical.
Well, see, the problem with this, where I end up when we argue this way, again, I think sometimes there's a weird definition or there's a weird perspective of what we mean by physicality. I simply draw the line at naturalism versus supernaturalism.
All right.
That's pretty much where I try to stay. I don't see the reason of debating because the physicality aspect, because dreams, for instance, I think someone from your position has a precarious task of trying to explain dreams then. Are dreams non-physical?
We just talked about dreams in Sunday school this past week.
Right, right.
So dreams are in this category of knowledge.
Right.
These things that are not physical.
Mm-hmm.
Pain is not physical.
So right now we're talking about memory centers. We're talking
about memory. Right.
Right. So we're talking about all these various things, right?
Yeah,
and they are generated from physical sources.
Not necessarily.
Like, well, the images that are in your brain when you're dreaming.
Well,
that's not coming from a physical source.
Oh, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. So you believe, well, you believe in revelation, so spiritual revelation. So that's probably what you're.
Well, even the atheist experiences reason, and reason is not one of the five senses. Have you heard it said that you can only know that which your five senses tell you?
I have heard that. Mm-hmm.
And have you ever agreed with that or disagreed?
Well, I guess it depends on what we're looking at, what the claim is. It depends what the claim is, I guess, I could argue.
Well, that you could only know that which your five senses tell you. That's the only source
of knowledge.
That's the only source of potentially true knowledge. You could only know.
Well, no, not really, because, I mean, you can gain knowledge even through dreams, but that's because you've collected data in your memory stores, remembering things that you have experienced physically. So it's a little difficult to answer. But just for argument's sake, I'll say, we only know what we know through our five senses.
Okay. I was.
What would be your rebuttal?
I was invited to a philosophy class in college to debate the whole class and the professor. We got it on videotape.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Get Out of the Matrix. And I asked if they had ever been taught that you can only know what your five senses tell you. And one of the students picked up a handout and said, yeah, our professor told us this just 2 weeks ago. And yeah, that's what we were told. So I asked the class, you can only know that what your five senses tell you. Which of your five senses told you that? Which of your five senses, hearing, taste, smell, which of your five senses told you that you could only know what your five senses tell you? And, of course, none. You can't mm-hmm. smell that written on a piece of paper and know by the smell that it's true. Your eyes don't tell you that a statement is true or false. You're hearing. You don't lick the paper. So that is a self-refuting concept mm-hmm. that many materialists have been trapped in because they're so willing to accept a reality that rejects the non-physical. And reason is non-physical. Reason is non-physical.
I guess I should be more worried, Bob. One can only make positive statements about physical reality using the five senses.
Not true.
Really?
Yeah, because
I even offered you a distinction. I even mentioned physical, but okay.
Yeah, right. Because our reason causes us to deduce the possible existence of black holes, even if we can't see one.
Right. So how do you solve that dilemma then?
Which dilemma?
You said this trap that materialists are stuck in. How do they get out of this
trap? Oh, they have to realize that their commitment to a purely physical material existence reality is a bad commitment because logic, reason, and knowledge, these are not physical. So that pain is not physical. A tree has no soul and no spirit. So you lop off a branch of a tree, it doesn't feel pain. The Bible says that God created animals and they have a body, just like a tree has a body, but no soul or spirit. God created animals and he put in them a soul. So animals could have some degree of relationship, whereas bushes cannot. And animals can understand or sense pain.
God put souls in animals?
Yeah, the Bible says that animals have souls, but in human beings, God made body, soul, and spirit. So human beings have a greater quality, a depth of soul, so we have greater relationships, and we can process logic and reason, and we are far above the animals. Right? Those who reject God want to make us like animals, and those who assert that we are made in God's image, they glory in how far above animals human beings are.
Well, I mean, I'd say we're obviously animals, but I would say we're something more, but we're not.
Right, we're something more because of the spiritual dimension of who we are. So pain.
Well, I don't think so, but
yeah, I realize you don't, but that might be because you've had this utter commitment to physical and material reality.
No, remember, it didn't always.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And, you know, I grew up then believing in evolution. And and so I didn't always, but I kept learning. And so pain, I assert that pain is not physical. And like one of your arguments is about memory. And
right.
In that argument, that implies that our knowledge has to be physical. But knowledge can't be physical. Raw data can be represented by ink on a piece of paper. But that ink on the paper is not knowledge. It's an awareness of what the raw data implies. And pain, pain is an awareness of knowledge that is troublesome. So physical
right. So we're still getting the acquiring these, even if it's not physical, from the real world. We're still acquiring.
Some pain has nothing to do with my physical state. Some pain is because I'm distressed that I don't know what the afterlife holds. A woman who gives birth has tremendous pain, but it's being fed to her brain. Now, our brain is an interface to our soul spirit. That's what it is. When your brain dies, your soul spirit leaves and you're dead. That death is just separation. So a woman is given birth and she's feeling a lot of pain. And then they give her the baby and she, there are tears of joy and she's even laughing. And she remembers the pain, but it fades very quickly because that pain came from a physical source and it had to be translated like an A to D conversion to her spirit. Whereas if her baby, a year later, if her baby dies, that's not physical. That didn't hurt her body. Nobody put a knife into her leg. But that pain endures for months, years, even decades, because that's not physical pain. It doesn't need any translation A to D. It doesn't need physical to spiritual translation. That pain goes right into her soul spirit, and it's devastating. Emotional pain is far more devastating than physical pain, showing us that we are far more spiritual than we are physical. This physical is temporary. It's a tent.
Right. Well, you make a lot of claims there, but I mean, I don't think there's much evidence for a spirit or soul. And I'd love for you to talk to me about what the distinction between a soul and a spirit as well.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. But evidence is just this whole issue of pain.
Why would that be evidence?
Well, because the brain can't feel pain.
It can. What do you mean? But we just talk about memory.
Well,
it can remember. Then you talk about phantom leg syndrome and things of that nature. That kind of that actually knocks out your point. I think. I mean, it's in the brain. Then again,
my argument is
it's
that
in the
pain,
brain, but you're going to think that it's outside of the brain. I don't think we need to do that.
Well, my argument is that the brain cannot feel pain, and my evidence for that is every brain operation in the history of
medicine. Why would the brain need to feel pain?
My point is it can't. It doesn't. It's the only organ that cannot sense pain.
But you're arguing that for some reason you think, I don't even think any neurologist would agree with you, but I mean, why would you think that the brain would have to feel pain in order for pain to make sense or something? I'm trying to figure out what you're...
Well, we know...
Sense in a non-spiritual way.
We know that we don't feel pain in the neurons in our leg. We know that. Because if there's a break between that pathway to our brain, we don't sense any pain. So it's not the neurons that give us the sense of pain. We think the pain is in our brain, that it's physical. But the only reason we think that is because we dismiss the fact that the brain cannot feel pain. The brain
doesn't make...
What? What?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, if I'm sitting here talking on the phone right now.
Yeah.
If an animal were to bite me on my leg, I know exactly where to look down and know where I'm getting bitten.
Yes, because your neurons are sending a message to your brain.
Thank you.
And your brain is the interface to your soul spirit.
Oh, my God.
What you never heard of body, soul, spirit, Reggie?
Of course I heard of mind-body dualism.
All right, but why would you laugh? I mean, most of the world believes, even pagan philosophers, that human beings have souls.
Yeah, and
go back to Aristotle.
A lot of people a long time ago believed in a lot of crazy things we don't believe anymore. Most of the world used to believe that the world was flat.
That's true, but now I'm giving you evidence. You said there's no evidence, so here's my evidence. We sense pain, yet our brain cannot sense pain.
We can see certain parts of the brain light up when we experience pain as well.
Well, that's right, because it's a communication pathway.
So you think the brain's just a big modem.
That's a good way of putting it. It's a broadband interface to your soul spirit. Your soul spirit is not attached to your heart. So if you get a heart transplant, you're the same person. If you get a brain transplant, all bets are off. You're no longer the same person.
Why not, if it's just a modem?
Because you would now be the other person.
But no, you just said the spirit is what's outside of that. So what would it matter? It's just the modem. It's not the processing unit.
The brain is the interface between your body and your soul spirit. That's why it's so wildly complex. Because the soul spirit to be able to comprehend ideas, there's no computer in the world that's ever been designed or even proposed that could comprehend an idea.
Right. I think it would take 7 terabytes of...
No, you could have 1 billion terabytes.
Right.
And
it depends on what, I see what you're saying.
I've studied...
It would be pretty complex to work on that, but yeah.
Well, complex, we don't even have a groping in the dark. I studied artificial intelligence just for one semester in Phoenix at Arizona State University. And, you know, that was fascinating. Read a couple textbooks. Wrote a program that played chess from scratch.
Right.
We don't have a prayer of a hope of thinking how to get a computer to understand an idea.
Of course not. You're talking about millions of years of evolution here, so.
Well, that we have intelligence. We
could hundreds of millions of years of evolution.
We could design space centers. Why can't we just intelligently design atoms and molecules to be self-aware? See, we have no comprehension of how sentience, how self-awareness could be engineered. We can't even begin to propose an idea of how atoms and molecules could develop awareness.
Agreed, Bob. We have, I'm sorry, Bob. But,
that's
we have a lot to learn. I mean, so I agree. But even if we don't know something, that doesn't mean by default it is what you hypothesize it is.
That's absolutely true. I agree with that completely. The God of the gaps would be a bad argument to say, well, because we don't know something, that's proof of God. That would be a bad argument. But on the other hand, science sometimes closes the gaps so that people think people believe in spontaneous generation, that worms just grow out of decaying flesh. And so it turns out that that's not true, that flies lay eggs and spores. And so sometimes science closes the gaps. And so we shouldn't argue from gaps that there is a God, but we shouldn't deny that science could close the gaps so that, for example, the brain can't feel pain. So that is more evidence. That is evidence.
How does the soul feel pain?
Well, it's evidence of something, right? It is evidence of something.
We don't understand. We just don't quite understand how the brain works.
Well, you agreed.
And that's true.
Well,
modern humans have only been around for a very short period of time. There's a heck of a lot we don't know yet.
Yeah.
But just as there were millions of things we didn't know just 1,000 years ago, there are still millions of things we still don't know and long into the future.
Right.
So.
Well, Reggie, because you agreed that the laws of logic are not physical and reason is not physical, knowledge is not physical, and I'm asserting that pain is an application of reason and logic. Trees can't...
I understand, but what I'm trying to say is I understand exactly what you're saying, but the problem is, just because, again, you're still using a type of God of the gaps argument. Just because we don't know how things work doesn't mean by default that it works for you. Also, the problem is you can't explain to me how that works, how data is transferred from the human brain to this soul or spirit or whatever. You can't explain that process to me just as we can't explain how the brain works. So I have no need to accept your extra hypothesis.
All right.
And there's no evidence.
If it were a God of the gaps argument, I would say, I don't know anything about pain, and therefore there must be a God. But I'm going beyond a God of the gaps. I'm saying scientifically, by experiment, we know 10,000 times over that this organ we call the human brain cannot sense pain.
No, you're using spirit of the gaps. That's what you're doing.
No. No, I'm saying that we know scientifically and by repeatable experiment.
Are you saying that we don't know something?
I'll tell you exactly what we do know. We do know that the human brain does not sense pain. We know that.
Yes,
because
we know
you
that.
Chop it up and it doesn't, no pain.
You mean by if we open up the brain and we stick it with something, it won't feel pain? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, if we cut out slivers in the brain,
exactly,
the person feels no pain because the brain doesn't have the ability to feel pain.
Right.
Yet we have an experience as human beings of pain. So we know that the laws of logic are not physical. We've been tricked into thinking that pain is physical. Pain is not physical. Pain is an awareness, and atoms and molecules cannot have awareness.
So we might as well say, so what you're saying here, Bob, let me make sure I'm straight here, that any emotion, any emotion, any abstract thought, in dreams, all that is that's the soul.
Knowledge, yeah, any kind of knowledge, memory, thought, reason, that all comes from the soul spirit. Mm-hmm. Our body is interfaced to our soul spirit.
How?
Through our brain.
How?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I cannot explain how gravity works.
Because I don't understand how an immaterial entity can stay inside a material one myself. I don't know why it doesn't slide out, but...
I think you and I would have a hard time explaining about a billion things about reality.
Well, that's
right?
Just it. I don't even know if that's reality anyway.
Well, about gravity. Yeah, I think you and I'd have a hard time explaining gravity. Motion is hard for us human beings to explain. There's light. I mean, I just recently read QED, Richard Feynman's...
Yeah, but we can do experiments on these things. We can't do experiments on souls.
Well, why not?
Because they're immaterial.
Yeah. Well, the laws of logic are tested, and a logistician will go to the mat saying...
You can see the results of them, right. But you could still process and produce results.
The logistician would say, if you try to just change one of these laws of logic, we will go to the mat defending them because they have been established and proved that, say, the law of non-contradiction.
Right.
Something cannot be true and false at the same time and in the same way.
Right.
So you have to go to a place of ignorance to deny the laws of logic. So they're not physical, but we wrestle with them, we tested them, and by reason, which is not physical, we have asserted the truth of the laws of logic. And I'm saying we could do the same thing with pain. We could do the same thing with pain, because just as the laws of logic are not physical, reason is not physical, knowledge is not physical, pain is awareness. That's what pain is. And awareness is not physical because atoms and molecules cannot be sentient. They can't be self-aware. But like when people go to hell right now, they don't have a body in hell. According to Christian theology, they're a spirit.
Right. And they feel anything, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a spirit could feel pain.
How? Just no nervous system. How is that possible? Are you psychologically saying?
No, pain is not physical. You're aware of that? Pain is not physical?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, you assert pain is physical.
Right, that's what we call it when our nervous system sends signals back to our brain to...
Well, the brain...
It's real. The phenomenon is real.
The brain...
When it reaches a certain state, we go, ow, that's pain.
The brain can't feel pain, right? Of all
of course,
the organs in the body...
Of course it can't, but the phenomenon is still real. That's why if it didn't exist, we would have a name for it.
Okay, let's talk through this because it does apply to our discussion. If I have a break in my nervous system at my hip, and so a nurse jabs me with a needle in my thigh, I don't feel it, right? Because the signal didn't get to my brain.
Pain wouldn't exist to you, but it would still exist to other people, right?
Yeah, but so I don't feel it because the communication system is disrupted.
Right, so pain does not exist for you. Right?
Now, if my leg is amputated and I wake up feeling a Charlie horse in my toes, it's a phantom pain because I don't even have a foot.
Right.
So, but if they, now, so an atheist, a materialist.
Remember the patterns of those electrical signals and trigger by whatever.
Yeah. So an atheist, a materialist who says there is no spirit realm, only the physical realm exists, only matter, will say, okay, you feel the pain in your brain. But when we operate on the human brain, we know that we don't give a local anesthesia. We don't even give a general anesthesia because the human brain is the only organ that cannot feel pain. So they keep you awake so that if they touch the wrong region in your brain and your leg starts to spasm, they say, oh, we've gone too far. And so the brain cannot feel pain.
Right.
And so it doesn't make sense to say, well, you feel pain in your brain because your brain can't feel pain. You
can't feel pain itself, right? It receives data from its extensions.
The brain receives information, electrochemical signals through...
Right, so it can detect what we would think, what we would say is pain, so to speak, but not feel it itself.
Pain?
It can experience it in the way that we would think of, I don't know, our flesh feeling it.
Pain is non-physical. Pain is awareness of knowledge that is bad. And so we have emotional pain.
So love isn't physical then either, right?
No, love, right. Love and envy, these things are not physical. Do you believe that...
How is our brain going to detect Or should I say, why do we deem something as love, envy?
Because of our soul spirit.
If there's no real, if it doesn't exist.
Because of our, I didn't say it doesn't exist, because of our soul spirit. That was Reginald Finley. His website is infidelguy.com. He's appeared on ABC's reality show, Wife Swap. Of course, the reality shows have nothing to do with reality, but he's well known as an atheist. It was a fascinating discussion. We'll send him our Mount Moriah DVD, Evidence on the Resurrection of Jesus Christ, that there is a mountain of evidence that Christ has, in fact, in history, rise from the dead. And then we'll follow up with this Dr. Bob Price, and also then hopefully sometime have Reginald back. And feel free to remember him and to pray for him. I think it was a very worthwhile conversation for Reggie, for me, and hopefully for you guys in the audience. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, we actually have 4 hours of debate / discussion that are fascinating. We're going to put all of that on a single MP3 CD called Bob and Yart Debates Atheist Reginald Finley. And then we also have an atheist pack, and we're adding that CD with Reginald to our atheist pack. And what a great resource this is. First of all, there's Battle Royale 7, Bob and Yart versus Zakif. Does God Exist? A written debate, 10-round moderated debate. You'll love that. And then there is Does God Exist? An audio debate between Greg Bahnsen and Gordon Stein, famous atheist. That's tremendous. We've offered that for many years. And then we have a DVD, Get Out of the Matrix, where Bob and Yart debates a philosophy class. That's fun. And then Confronting an Atheist, the DVD from the old Bob and Yart Live TV show. And then finally, Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. This atheist pack for $99.99. If you're not a believer, send us a letter right to us at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. And we will send you for free our Mount Moriah DVD on the evidence for the resurrection. May God bless you guys. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. That's Maranatha.